he will talk about 19-year water balance at the engineered surface barrier. Looking forward to the talk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Okay, this is not associated with any of the terrestrial observatory, but for a different purpose, we have almost 2 decades almost continuous data. So I would like to mention a little bit of background here. This is an engineered surface barrier. That is, below it, there's something, and this is constructed by human. So the purpose of this surface barrier is to isolate underlying waste. For this specific case, it is below it is the radioactive nuclear waste below it. So another purpose is to minimize intrusion, for example, by plants, animals, and humans, and also to reduce infiltration. Pretty much is natural precipitation. So the purpose of this presentation is to present the 19-year water balance of the Pseudolum barrier. I mentioned the Pseudolum is just the central part of this piece. The history here, about is in the early 80s, there was a barrier development program at the Hanford site. After almost 10 years, in 1993 to 1994, the surface barrier was constructed. And after that one, the monitoring of this barrier has been in progress to present. This is the cross-section of the surface barrier. There are a few main components here. Let's see. Okay, this is the main part of the barrier. We see it have the soil here, and also the vegetation above it. The soil is actually layered. It has 2 meters silt loam. Below it, it has a graded capillary break, including sand, gravel, and below it, it has 1.5 meters large block gravel, actually like rocks or riprapps for any human, some unintentional intrusion. On the 2 sides, there are side slopes to protect the barrier from any damage or erosion. So yeah, below it is the waste crib. So this is the cartoon showing the components of the barrier. Yeah, the silt loam to the top one will have some added gravel to prevent erosion. So during the almost 2 decades at the beginning of the first 3 years, there was a we call the enhanced precipitation test from 1994 to 1997. About half of it was irrigated to the level about 3 times the average precipitation. By the way, at that site, the climate is semi-arid, and the average precipitation was about, at that time, was 160 millimeters per year. So the irrigation part is 480 millimeters per year for that half. So the chance for 3 times, the rough estimate is about once in a million years, probably. So 3 times average probably won't happen often. There's another test is in 2008. A controlled burn was done also at this actually half of it. Want to check if there is if a wildfire happens, the vegetation is gone, what happens to the hydrology? Would that cause a problem? Not theoretically, we just intuitively we think, oh, only evaporation may use less water than the possibility of more water infiltrated through the waste zone. So that is a valid concern. So that is the reason behind this burn. So I'm going to summarize some basically the hydrology part, and also we'll see if the burn has any impacts. Yeah, the monitoring has been continued from 1994 to present. Here is the some monitoring stations. There are 6 at the south this section and another six station in north section. So I mentioned this north section was irrigated for the first 3 years, and also this section, the vegetation was burned in 2008. So these are the vertical stations. Each one has a neutron probe to roughly the bottom of the silt loom, it's 2 meters deep, and also has some HDUs to measure water potential and temperature as well. Also, we see that at the bottom, below the bottom of the silt loom and even below it, there are some horizontal neutron access tubes. So these ones actually are right below the roughly at the interface of the silt loom. There are even more ones about right below the 5 meter barrier, 1, 3, and 5 meters below that, or two horizontal all the way from this side to that side to monitor the soil water content. We see these some white stuff. There are actually 12 of them we call drainage vaults. So actually pipes were guided through all different zones. The whole barrier, roughly this portion, was divided into 12 drainage mounting zones to collect drainage from them. So 4 was behind this barrier, another 4, 2 below this side slope, another 2 below this side slope, and the other 4 is the transition plots. Okay, I'm going to talk about the hydrology at the barrier. This is the contour for the first 4 years. So this is the WY water year is start from November to October based on the local climate for first 4 years. This is the depth. The water content, the color, the dark color shows is higher water content, the light color is lower water content. From this one we see very strong seasonal variations. This is the first water year, second, third, and fourth. There are 3 times irrigation during this period. We clearly see roughly from November each year, the soil becomes receiving water. So the wettest part is roughly at March, end of March each year. And after that one, the soil gets drier. And when it gets to after August time each year, it's pretty much become back to the beginning. Here it's about between 5 or 10% water content. In the other year, that's the third year. So these years are different. That's a small amount of irrigation, which is different from the other 3 years. So that is a strong seasonal the variation for the first 3 years. Now next, about 10 years, no irrigation or under natural precipitate condition, 1999 to 2008. The major difference we see is the water plume only goes to not too deep, no more than 1 meter, about 0.8 is the deepest here. So simply the precipitation doesn't really go much very deep. So from the barrier purpose, that means that's good thing, because when it's at a dry condition, there's very little chance for water to go through the capillary break down into the waste zone. The next one is from 2009 to, the data is here, is to 2013. Remember there was a controlled burn in September 2008, right just earlier before here. To our surprise, we see still the water didn't really go much deeper. This is the part of the without vegetation. I don't show the result for the amber, the other half that has vegetation. If we compare them, we see that, we see here is in the summertime, the water are used primarily, for this case, probably evaporation has much larger contribution. But if we compare with the south section with vegetation, the difference is it takes a little bit longer time for the small grass or the evaporation to consume the stored water in this case. So that means even after fire and a normal precipitate condition, the barrier is still safe to prevent any drainage through the into the waste zone. Another part is we checked the storage change in the winter season and the summer season. Winter is roughly 5 months from November to March, and the summer season is from April to October. So we have the check the change. Visually we see, okay, this is the top part, the blue bars are the winter part, what storage increased. The negatives are the summer season, storage decreased. We do the comparison, we find out the storage change in the winter and the summer is very close to the one-to-one line. They are very similar. That is means almost all the water stored in the soil are used up by the following summer, either by general combination of evaporation and transpiration. This is actually the purpose of the design of the we call the water balance barrier. So we also check this is the evapotranspiration during the winter season from all the years. If we could check, the bars have slight difference, but not a strong signal dependence on the years. Even the precipitation varies a lot, especially, remember the first 3 years, there was 3 times irrigation. So we found out, on average, it's about 47, and we can find out based on the store weight math method, the potential evapotranspiration was about 40. So probably the PET was the limiting the winter time evapotranspiration. So that means we can roughly almost assume the winter PET is like a constant value for all the years. The rest will go into the soil. This can be used to estimate how much water. So if we check the summertime, that's different. For the first few years, but very high evapotranspiration because of the added irrigation. So here I have two parts, the north part and the south, north irrigated the section, the south unirrigated section. So they see they're different. So that means, based on data, for this side, the surface runoff was almost zero. The drainage was also near zero. That means the water balance equation is very simple here. The summer ET is roughly the difference between the annual precipitation, minus this is about 40 winter evapotranspiration. So this gives the rough idea for designing the surface barrier, how much storage it needs. So I would like to quickly summarize it. For this one, the data shows that for this 2 meter thick surface barrier, there was very little drainage. So the 19 year average was only 0.005 minutes per year. By the way, the design criterion was half a minute per year. So on average, it's 2 orders of magnitude smaller than that. That means this 2 meters barrier, thick barrier, has sufficient storage for all the precipitation. Actually, if we check carefully, we see probably the barrier is too thick. So to reduce the cost, we may consider to reduce the thickness for this case. So wintertime, even if the wintertime there is the rainy season, even there's lots of rain there, but because of the low temperature, the potential evapotranspiration becomes the limiting factor for the ET. So the actual ET is very low there, roughly almost a constant for every year. So the summer ET is very high. No matter how much water is stored in the soil, the plant and evaporation process can use up all of the water there. So all this data prove that the design that we call the effective mechanism for the barrier is called store and release mechanism. That means store all the precipitation into the soil and then release the stored water back into the atmosphere. So this mechanism has been functioning very effectively. For the fire, we found that even after the fire, the vegetation was burned out, the evaporation, there was probably still some very limited transpiration by the small grass there, can still consume the stored water and also the summer precipitation as well. So I'd like to mention give acknowledgement to many of the people was involved in this work. We know this has been continued for over 20 years. So people from the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, U.S. Department of Energy, and at that time the Westinghouse Chemical Company, Bechtel, and CGM Health Hanford Company have been involved in this task. Thanks.
So since the next presentation is not coming, so we have time for discussion. So are there any questions? Yeah.
What is your average drainage rate for your barrier compared to the average drainage rate for the surrounding soils, the natural soils?
The natural soils, we don't have monitoring for the and the natural soils. There was a estimate value there, it is depending on the surface condition, the value differs a lot to the drainage. With the nice vegetation there, the value estimate was about 3 to 5 millimeters per year, but without vegetation covered with just bare soil, the value can be as high as 50 to 100 millimeters per year.
Okay, so another question?
It has not been used for other sites yet, but this is called a demonstration barrier. But it is currently under the discussion to be used. Still, lots of steps to be gone through for the actual application there. So the data, we are actually at the time to summarize the almost 20 years data. We hope the data will be also available for the public to 20 years, and also we are thinking if anybody has interest to at this site, we have, I didn't mention the vegetation data as well. We have some vegetation observations, animal investigation surveys, elevation surveys as well to monitor the stability of the site. So if there's anybody want to have interest to conduct some kind of work at the site, we can talk about it.